For quite some time, we have been fellowshipping on this matter of why do we so gather. I wonder if we are tired of this subject. Back in 1867, the great evangelist D.L. Moody felt a little moody, so he went to England trying to get some help. He received little help, but he met a young evangelist by the name of Henry Morehouse. And this young evangelist told D.L. Moody that he would be going to the United States and he would like to minister in his church. D.L. Moody was not very much impressed by him because he looked like a boy of 17 years old. And what could he preach? But out of courtesy, he said, "All right, if you come, look me up." And Moody forgot it. Back he was in Chicago, and he received a letter from that young man saying that he was coming. He received three letters from him saying he was coming and he will be there in Chicago on a Thursday. Now it happened that Moody will be away for Thursday and Friday. So he told his elders that a young man was coming and he wanted to preach. Well, give him a chance and see how he did. Now his elders told Moody, "Now the Lord is blessing us and people seem to be hungry for the Lord. It doesn't seem right to get some stranger to speak whom we do not know." But Moody said, "Well, try him out and see how it works." So Moody left. When he came back on Saturday, he asked his wife, "How was the young man?" Oh, his wife said, "Everybody loved to hear him." Moody said, "Did you hear him?" His wife said, "Yes, I do. He preached a little bit different from you, but everybody loved it." And Moody said, "Well, if he preached different from me, it must be wrong." So his wife said, "Well, hear him first, and I think probably you will agree with him." So Saturday night, Moody went to hear this young man. And this young man came to the platform and said, "Turn to John 3:16. That has been his test for Thursday and Friday. And he preached on the love of God. He didn't preach in the way of number one, number two, or number three, or number four. But he went through Genesis, from Genesis through Revelation, through the prophets, showing people how God loved the world. And D.L. Moody was deeply touched. Then came Sunday, and Monday, and Tuesday, and every night when people went to hear him, and as a matter of fact, in England, in the States, in Chicago at that time, Monday was the day when the women would do their washing. But somehow these women left their washing and all came to the church to hear this young man. And this young man said, "Please, if you want to find my text, it is in John 3:16. And on a seventh night, now Moody said, "Now, what will he preach tonight?" And this young man came up and said, "All day I've been trying to find a new text, but I couldn't find one. And there is nothing better than this old text, John 3:16. So he preached on John 3:16 for the seventh time. And do you know, that changed Moody's ministry. Because formerly when Moody preached the gospel, he preached as if God was at the back of man, holding a sword and chasing man and trying to kill him. But from that day onward, he began to preach that God was chasing after man with love, and unfortunately, man flee from him. Now, I hope this morning, as I will repeat the same subject, that some change may come upon you. Amen. Why do we meet at all? Well, the very meaning of the church is the called out ones assembled. We all receive the life of our Lord Jesus. And we all share that life. God has called us out of all nations to make us one people unto Him. This is what we are. And because this is what we are, we cannot help but gather together. Now, you know, in the early days, when the gospel was preached and people were saved, spontaneously they came together. They came together to worship the Lord. They came together to serve the Lord. As one people, one church, one body. There was no problem. But today we have problems. Why? Because we find that among those who are saved by grace, even though we may be living in the same area, we are not gathering together. Some will gather together under a kind of denominational organization. Others will gather together in the form of a kind of independent fellowship. We find that God's people are scattered. God's people are not together, even though they are meeting. And yet they are now meeting as one people, as one church, as one body. We must gather with our brothers and sisters. But where should we go? With whom should we be gathered with? Is there any justification for us to gather separately from the other fellowships and the other denominations? Is there any justification for us to gather together in this manner? I think this is a very important question. It is a very vital question we must answer. And if we cannot answer it positively, then we should be disbanded. We should not be here at all. Dear brothers and sisters, may I raise this question with you? What is the justification for you to be here this morning? Why are you not with some other denomination or with some other independent groups? Do you have a positive answer to this question? Now, of course, to answer this question, it brings us right back to the purpose of God through the ages. You know, it is not just a matter of a kind of accidental thing. It really brings us back to the very purpose of God through all eternity. Why do we gather here? Why do we gather at all? Why are we so gathered? There is one reason, and that is we gather together to fulfill God's purpose concerning His Son. Our gathering together is not for the sake of meeting our own needs. It is true we have many needs. And it is equally true that if we are so gathered, many of our needs will be met. Thank God for that. But that's the byproduct. We do not gather together to meet our needs. We gather together to meet the very need of God. Our God has a need. And His need is concerned with His Son. He has a very definite purpose concerning His Son. He has a very definite idea about His Son. He is not vague about it at all. What is His purpose concerning His beloved Son? The apple of His eye. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, it is said, to head up all things in Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, it said, that He may have the first place in all things. God has created all things in Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. That Christ may have the first place in all things. That He may head up all things. Now, in order for that to be fulfilled, He has to have this fulfilled first. Among His people, that is, in His church. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23, it said, God has made Him, that is Christ, head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him to who fills all and in all. So, dear brothers and sisters, here you'll find a very definite reason for our gathering together. The reason why we gather together is that Christ may be all things to us. That He may head up all things in the church. That He may have the first place in our lives individually and together. And that is the reason why we are so gathered. You know, the simplest explanation of the church is Matthew 18. It is said, where two or three are gathered together unto My name, there am I in the midst of them. Where two or three, plurality, gather together. To whom do they gather together? They are gathered together unto the name of the Lord Jesus. They are gathered together unto His name, the name that is above every name. And to that name every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Unfortunately, God's people today, do not gather together unto that marvelous name, matchless name. On the contrary, you'll find many of God's people are gathered together unto the names of some great men of God. Now, we do respect these great men of God. We do thank God for Martin Luther, but are we together unto the name of Luther? We do respect John Wesley. God has used him mightily, and we receive from him good inheritance. But do we get unto the name of Wesley? Now, we do have a good opinion about Simon Menon, but do we get unto the name of Mennonites? Many are gathered unto the name of a form, an organization. Now, we do believe in Presbyterians, but do we gather unto the name of the Presbyterian? We do believe in congregation. Do we gather together unto the name of the Congregationalist? Now, some people gather together unto the name of a truth, a doctrine. Now, we do believe these truths. Now, we don't believe heresies, but we do believe these truths. Some people gather around a heresy, that's true. But some people do gather around the truth. We do believe in the baptism of the believers, but do we gather under the name of the Baptist? We do believe in holiness, but do we gather unto the name of holiness? Some people gathered under the name of an experience, a Christian experience. Now, we do believe in all these Christian experiences. We do believe in Pentecost, but do we gather under the name of the Pentecostal? We do believe in charismatic, but do we gather under the name of the charismatic? Dear brothers and sisters, the problem today is God's people are gathered together unto different names. And because they are gathered together under different names, they are divided. The Word of God tells us that we need to be gathered together unto His name. There is only one name under heaven by which we can be saved. And it is only unto that name that we must gather. Now, if God's people will gather together unto that name and name alone, they will be one, they will be united, they will not be scattered, and there will be no confusion. Why do we so gather? It is because we will not identify ourselves with any other name than the matchless name of our Lord Jesus. We believe that His name is sufficient for us. We believe that His name is all that we need. We do not want to be called by any other name, but by the name of our Lord Jesus. And by doing so, we believe that we are one with our brothers and sisters. We are not divided. We are not the cause of confusion. But what is meant by being unto His name? It is not just a title. We may call ourselves the Church of Christ. Well, we are under His name. Or we can call ourselves the Assembly of God. We are under His name. But dear brothers and sisters, the name is not just a title. The name speaks of His presence. Because the Bible said, where two or three are gathered together unto My name, there am I in the midst of them. In other words, where His name is honored, there His presence is there. In other words, unto His name means put yourself under His authority. Let Him be the head. That He is head over all things to the church. In other words, we hold Christ as our head. And because we hold fast the head, therefore the whole body are ministered to and are united together. That is the meaning of unto His name. We may name His name, we may use His name, and yet we may go our own way. You remember in Matthew, it is said, people will come to Him in the last day and say, Lord, Lord, do we not in Your name cast out demons? Do we not in Your name do this and do that? And the Lord said, you evil people, I do not know you. Why? Because they do not do the will of God. Dear brothers and sisters, do we gather together unto the matchless name of our Lord Jesus? Is it just a title, a formality, a technicality, or is it a reality? Do we really put ourselves under His authority and let Him be the head of the church? Let His authority be over all of us, in all things, not in certain things, but in all things. Not in certain things decided by the Lord and most things decided by the committee, but everything is to be under His authority. Is this a reality? If Christ is not head in the church, how can He head up all things? If Christ does not have the first place in all things in the church, how can He have the first place in the universe? Those who have trusted Him, those who have believed Him, if they do not honor Him and His authority, who will? Dear brothers and sisters, the only justification, if any, for us to be so gathered is to put ourselves completely, absolutely, fully unto the name of our Lord Jesus. Let Him be our head. Let His authority be known. Let His will be known, be done. Let Him be honored and respected. We do not come together for meeting our own needs. We come together to meet the need of God. We do not come together to fulfill our purpose, even spiritual purpose. We come together to fulfill the purpose of God concerning His Son. We come together not to see one another, but to see Him. We come together not to seek for anything, but to seek the Lord Jesus. He is our foundation stone, He is our cornerstone, and He is our headstone. He is the one on which we stand. He is the one by which we are joined together, and He is the one who keeps everything. Christ and Christ alone. That is why we are so gathered. Now, of course, to hold fast the head, to let Him be head over all things, first of all, it requires revelation. Revelation. We need God to open our eyes to see Christ as God sees Him. If we do not see Christ as God sees Him, we will never be able to honor Him as we should. The only way that we can really hold fast the head is to see Him as the head, as God wills it. Revelation. After revelation, I give you three all. After revelation, you have resolution. Having seen the revelation, you just don't see it and leave it alone. If you really see the revelation, then there will be a resolution. In other words, you will resolve in your heart that he should be the head. And then, revolution. Because then it will revolutionize your life. You find that you cannot make him your head if you still live in the flesh. You'll find the flesh has to go. You'll find it has to be a revolution in your life. It should be Christ and no longer you. That is the only way that we can really hold fast ahead. And in this way, God's purpose concerning His Son may be fulfilled. Now, our brothers have already talked about these things. I just sum up what they said. But this morning, I would like to continue on this matter of why do we so gather? I think aside from the reason that we have just given, there is another reason. And the second reason for our being gathered in this way is this. We are gathered together to respond to God's purpose concerning His people, the church. Not only to fulfill God's purpose concerning His Son, but also to respond to God's purpose concerning His people. You know, God has a very definite purpose, not only concerning His Son, but also concerning those who believe in His Son. God has a very clear and definite idea about His Son, what He will do for His Son, but He has also a very clear and definite idea about those who are His people, what He wants His people to be as to His Son. You remember your Romans chapter 8, we are told, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. No, I haven't finished the quoting. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to purpose. We are all called according to purpose. Now, what is that purpose? What is our calling? Our calling is to be the body of Christ. This is our calling. This is God's purpose, that we be one body to the one head who is Christ. You know, dear brothers and sisters, we are all saved individually. In other words, I cannot save for you, nor can you save for me. Just like I cannot be baptized for you, and you cannot be baptized for me. You know, in the early days, in the Corinthian, in the church in Corinth, you know, they had a kind of practice which was not scriptural, and that is that they baptized for the dead man. A person is already dead, but he hasn't been baptized, so the living one baptized for the dead, because they believe that if you're not baptized, you go to hell. Baptismal regeneration is a very old era. Nobody can baptize for you. Nobody can believe for you. Nobody can be saved for you. You have to be saved yourself. In other words, God save everyone individually. Now, it is true, if God save one in a family, God does have a promise that He will save the whole family. If you hold God to His promise, and if you give a good testimony, you will find the whole family will be saved. But even so, every member of the family has to come to the Lord individually. personally. We are saved individually, but we are called corporately. To know the salvation of the Lord individually is to know the grace of God. But to know the call of God corporately is to know the purpose of God. Many people are saved, but few know the purpose of God. Many people know the grace of God. Thank God for that. But dear brothers and sisters, if we only know the grace of God and we do not know the purpose of God, now it is true, you have received much from God, but how much does God receive from you? Well, you get a better bargain, that's true. But what does it profit to God? That will make you a selfish, self-centered Christian. Everything is for you. Even God is for you. And if God should be a little slow in answering your prayer, you murmur. That is not the kind of Christian God wants. Thank God we know the grace of God, but dear brothers and sisters, we need to know the purpose of God. Only when you see the purpose of God, you are delivered from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. You find that God's purpose is we are called to be the body of Christ. We are called as a body. Why a body? Because our Christ is so rich that it takes the whole body to contain the unsearchable riches of Christ. Why the body? Because our Christ is so glorious that it takes the whole body to manifest His glory. We are not called to be an organization. A human organization, institution. We are called to be an organism, a living organism. We do not join an organization and be a member. In this body of Christ, there is no membership in the human sense. That is, you do not join. You cannot join. There is no way, even if you want to join it, you have to be born into it. The membership is all the members of the body of Christ. If you are born into the body of Christ, then you are a member. There is no membership in the human sense. And all who are born from above are born into that one body. Back in the 19th century, there in Dublin, Ireland, was a dentist, Dr. Crony. Now this Dr. Crony loved the Lord very much. And he not only loved the Lord, but he really loved God's people. So when he first moved to Dublin, Ireland, he began to visit his brethren in the Lord. So one Sunday he will go to one church and try to meet with the brothers and sisters there. And after he had met with them for a few weeks or a few months, then the pastor will say, "Well, Dr. Crony, it is so good that you meet with us, and we would like you to be a member of our church." Well, Dr. Koenig said, I'm sorry. I do love to meet with you, but I don't feel I will join your church as a member. Well, if you are not a member, you are not welcome. So Dr. Koenig had to find another church. So he went to another church and began to meet with the brothers and sisters there, and he was happy with them. And then after a few Sundays, again the pastor came and said, Dr. Koenig, you're most welcome to be with us, but we would like you to be a member of our church. Dr. Koenig said, I'm sorry, I cannot join any organization. I really want to be one with all the brothers and sisters. Well, you are not welcome. So after he had been to various places, finally he had nowhere to go. He wanted to be one with all the brothers and sisters, but no brothers and sisters will have him if he wants to be one with all. Now, everyone wants you to be one with a few, but not with all. So Dr. Koenig had nowhere to go. And finally, thank God, God raised up another couple with the same thought that he had, so they began to meet together in their home. You know, this is the beginning of the brethren movement. Brothers and sisters, why do we so gather? There are so many gatherings. Why do we need to have another one? What is the justification? Why should we not join ourselves with some denominational church and be a member there? Or why do we not join ourselves with an independent fellowship group? Why should we be gathered in this way? And probably if we gather in this way, we will be rejected by all. Why? There is one reason. We believe that God has called us to be one body. In Colossians chapter 3, it is said, by which you are called in one body. In Ephesians chapter 2, you find God has put the Gentiles and the Jews together in reconcile them in one body unto God by the cross. We believe in the oneness of the body of Christ. We believe that God's people must not be divided. We believe that we should not be separated into sects. We stand on the ground of the unity of the body of Christ. We want to open our hearts to all God's people. Whoever Christ receives, we want to receive, because they are our brothers and our sisters. This is the only ground we feel we could meet. We do not pretend or be presumptuous to say that we are the body of Christ. We are not. We are the church. We are not. Because the body of Christ includes all God's people. The church includes all God's saved ones. We are but a few. And yet, we do testify to the fact that the body is one. Therefore, we meet together on the ground of the oneness of the body of Christ. We do not meet on the ground of any special doctrine, any special form, under any special name, but we gather together in the name of our Lord Jesus and on the ground of the unity of the body of Christ. There is no membership here. If you are the Lord, you are a member of the body of Christ. You don't need to join. you are in. Because you are in the body of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? In order to fulfill that calling, that we are one body. Dear brothers and sisters, how we need to diligently keep the unity of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. We do thank God that He has given us the unity of the Spirit. It is given to all God's people. One body, one Spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one baptism, one faith, one God who is Father of us all, who is over all, in us all, and through us all. Brothers and sisters, all who really believe in the Lord Jesus have the unity of the Spirit in them. Let us keep it diligently. We will meet our brothers and sisters only on this ground. We will not meet our brothers and sisters on grounds other than Christ. And if we diligently keep the unity of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace, and if we are willing to fellowship with all our brothers and sisters, if we are willing to tolerate all differences, thank God for all the differences, because differences or varieties brings fullness. And we believe that if we are open to one another, and if we are not close to one another, if we do not insist upon each other, but we are willing to consider, we believe that God is able to so work in us until we may all arrive at the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the full-grown man, unto the full statue, measure of the statue of the fullness of Christ. Then we will not be like babes tossed and carried about. We believe that. And because we believe in that, therefore we gather in this way. Not only we gather together as the body of Christ, we gather together on the ground of the unity of the body of Christ, but we do believe that it is God's will that we who are so gathered should express Christ together. In other words, what is the church? The church is the corporate expression of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it is said, though we are many, yet we are one. Though there are many members, yet there is only one body. One body, and yet many members. So also is the Christ. In other words, Christ wants to express Himself in a corporate way through the body. And that's the reason why we are so gathered. We want to express Christ together. It is true that every one of us has some expression of Christ. That ought to be. Every one of us ought to express Christ in some way. But to express Christ fully, it takes all God's people by the Holy Spirit, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we may be rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to apprehend with all the saints the width, the breadth, the depth, the height, the love of God in Christ Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, why do we gather together? We gather together to express Christ together, so that Christ may be expressed in a fuller way. Well, in order that we may express Christ together, we have to be built up together. We are living stones. But living stones scattered around is a picture of ruin. Living stone piling together into a heap. That doesn't make it less ruinous. Living stone had to be built up together organically in order to be a holy habitation of God. God cannot live in just one stone. That one stone may be a monument, but not a house. God cannot live under a heap. That would be a grave. God can only live in a house. The living stones has to be built up together. Oh, brothers and sisters, I see heaps after heaps after heaps. I see the church of the dead, not the church of the living. I remember years ago when I was in England, I went to see that famous Westminster Abbey. And as I walked in that Westminster Abbey and walked through the whole place, is a big church, a cathedral, and I walk into it, you know, my feeling is this is the church of the dead, not the church of the living. Why? Because every step you take, you step upon a dead man. They bury the dead on the floor, they bury the dead in the rooms, and you find everywhere, even on the walls, you find the names there. It is the church of the dead, not the church of the living. It's a heap, not a house. Why God gather us together? That we may be piled one upon another? And remain as we are? You know, we can pile upon one another and remain as we are. If I have a corner up here, I can pile with you and that corner may never be cut. And that's what it is. You'll find many gatherings of God's people, but all these corners remain forever. And when you feel uncomfortable, you move. Never be touched. No. No. Let us be built together to express Christ. For us to be built together, dear brothers and sisters, I'll give you 3C. Commitment, crisis, and cross. If we really want to be built up together, you need to be committed. I think that's evident. Even if nobody wants. But you know that is must. You must be committed not only to the Lord, but committed to your brothers and sisters. Now the clever ones never commit themselves. Don't get so close. If you get so close, you may be burned. But thank God for the fire. Are we committed? And if you're really committed, dear brothers and sisters, crisis will come. You won't have a peaceful time. If you want to have a restful time, go to theater. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go to theater. If you go to church, real church, remember, crisis will come to your life. Very soon you'll find a crisis hit you. You'll begin to feel this brother, terrible, that sister, my, impossible. You'll begin to have crisis in your life. And when crisis comes, well, that's the third C, cross. Are you willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow the Lord? This is the only way that we can really be built together. Dear brothers and sisters, why is not so, is not more building up in the, among God's people? Why? You see lots of gatherings, but very little building. Why? Because we are not committed. Because we try to evade all the crisis. Because we escape the cross. That's why. Oh, that we may see. The reason why we are so gathered is we want to express Christ corporately. We want Him to dwell and have His satisfaction and rest in us. We want to be built up together. And to be built up together, brothers and sisters, it does require these three C's. Now, do you have it? Have them. In order to express Christ, we must not only be built up together, but we need to function together. Because you'll find in 2 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, we, as we come to Christ, we are as living stones, being built up together into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. We are not only a spiritual house, to express Christ. You know, when you go to a house, that house represents that the owner of the house. Express the owner of the house, his taste and all these things. But you find that we are also the holy priesthood in the house. Therefore, we gather together in order that we may function together. Every member, every part in the body has its gift and grace that God has wonderfully given. And it is our responsibility that we all should work each part. We do not gather together to listen to someone. We do not gather together to be served by a few. We gather together that we may all function as members of the body of Christ. This is why we are so gathered. Do not consider yourself as a stranger. In Ephesians chapter 2 say, we are no longer strangers and sojourners, but we are of the household of God. Being built up together on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone, that we may be a holy habitation of God. That is what we are. So, we who gather together are all expecting. it to function. Not just a few functioning, but every member function according to the gift and grace that God has given to each. And function coordinately, not independently. The beautiful picture of the priesthood is when the priests serve, not just one or two, we know that thousands of priests serve in the temple. And they serve by turns, by courses. And they serve together as one under the high priest. There is no confusion, no disorder. Everything is orderly, directed by the holy priest, by the high priest. Our Lord Jesus is our high priest. The Holy Spirit represents the high priest today on earth. And we are all priests. And we need to serve in the house of God as a priesthood under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how beautiful that will be. That's why we are gathered together. Why do we gather together as the body of Christ? We are gathered together to serve God. We are not only a vessel, we are an instrument in God's hand. As a vessel, we are to be filled with the fullness of Christ. As an instrument, we are to be used by God to bring in His kingdom and to bring His will upon the earth as it is in heaven, to bring back the King. Ephesians chapter 3, it is said that to the principalities and authorities might be manifest through the church the all various wisdom of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, we are told that we are to stand and to withstand and to stand for the will of God to be fulfilled. That is why we are gathered here. We are gathered here to work together with God. We are here together to worship God together, to minister unto the Lord together. We are here to minister unto God's people together. We are here even to minister to the world. We are not here just having a leisurely time. Do you expect to go to heaven carrying on a sedan chair? Or do you expect to fight all your way up to heaven? Is there any wound in your body? Are you so comfortable that you are intact? Oh, brothers and sisters, why do we gather together? These are the reasons why we also gather. If it shall please the Lord, may it be so. If we fail Him, God forgive. We will be removed. And God will raise up other people for His testimony. Because through the centuries and the generations, even though the church of God has failed, God has never failed to have His testimony on this earth. There will be some faithful to Him. Oh, word to God, that we may be ranked among those. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us. In Thy precious name. Amen.